I'm FO Medford, and this is the Halloween Spooktravaganza for Classic Rock Mine 2022. Dig it and dig it deep. Kids, it is Halloween Spooktravaganza time here on Classic Rock Mine on WMFO. My name is Mike Conway. We are here for 2 hours, and as usual, my guest, Professor Borgo Pass, is here.
Hey, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you too, man. How's it going?
It's going great, and it has been a while since I have been on a Spooktravaganza, so it's excellent to be back.
And I have to ask, do you want the witch dead?
So what exactly was that strange song that we were just hearing there?
That is a song by a group called Demian.
From
1974. It's off an album called Rockstar Farm.
I know who you are, Demian.
And that's it. It's We Want the Witch Dead.
Whoa.
But I really like it. You know what I like about it?
No,
is
that
we are the town's people.
Yeah.
And we want blood.
Oh, yeah. I like that line. We're after blood.
Let blood run in the streets. Yeah. And,
Yeah.
So, yeah, I figured that was a good opening for the show.
Sure. Spooky.
Yes. So, what do you got for tonight? What kind of stuff?
Well, here's the deal. We're thinking, Mike and I are thinking we've got two major themes that we're going to be treating of tonight. The first one is witches.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the season of the witch, which is why we're picking up every stitch.
Yes, we are.
We're going to be looking at... I brought a number of great witch stories and a little bit of witch history that I want to share. And then the second hour is going to be all about ghosts.
Cool.
The other classic... It's a classic rock mine, so we're going for classic Halloween this year. We got witches and we got ghosts. We may throw in a little goblin here and there.
Awesome.
I want to recommend, I've got like five awesome ghost stories. Really, in my estimation, the greatest ghost stories of all time. I'm not going to read them, but I'll maybe read a little passage and then talk to you just a little bit about why I think they're so cool. So if you, listener, are looking for something to read this Halloween, you're a bookish type, and you're going to be spending a little time by the fire.
Cool.
I have some stories to put into your mind that I think you will appreciate.
Nice. I like that. Cool.
How's your Halloween look?
Okay, I guess. Put up the decorations today. That's always fun.
Yeah. It's last time I was here, it was Grandpa's clothes stuffed with hay. Is that what you're doing again?
I don't know. I don't know what the concept is. That's the wife's department.
Okay. Yeah. The wifey.
The wifey, yes.
The little old lady. Do you have a lot of kids come by your house?
We do. We didn't used to, but our neighborhood turned around about 8 years ago, so now there are like toddlers everywhere.
Cool.
At Halloween, yeah. So much so that we have to keep in mind, you know, fun scary, not scary scary.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't want to scare them too much.
I would like to scare them too much, but my wife stops me from doing so. I have a a particular haunt who hangs on my front porch. Mm-hmm. She's a specter in white. I call her the Mysterious Woman in White in honor of the Wilkie Collins novel.
Ooh.
And she's great. She's so cool. The face is like dead white and these glowing red eyes and this filmy, you know, like Victorian gown and these claw-like hands.
Ooh.
And she's the one that everybody responds to.
Wow.
We're doing a test. When kids go walking down the street in the mornings on their way to school, they all walk past my house, and my neighbor on the other side of the street has up all his stuff with like giant spider webs and inflatable ghosts and stuff. And
cool.
So the test is, where do the kids actually look when they walk between our two houses? And so far I've gotten him beat like dead to rights with the woman in white. Everybody's like, whoa, they're all looking over there. Even like old folks give a shocked look in my direction.
Nice.
Yeah, so she's a hit.
Cool. All right, shall we delve into some witchcraft?
Yeah, let's go. You want to start us with a little bit of witchy music?
I got a little bit of, a very thematic song to kick off Spooktravaganza.
Okay.
Dig it, and dig it deep.
Start to crawl, climbing up the garden wall. don't pass it, Harley. Let it fit. It's what you... What you wanted.
No, not like this. Not like this. I see it. This is wrong.
Nothing I can do. It's gotta run its course now. What did you think? It'd be easy. Neat and clean and painless. You're a fool.
If you won't help me, if you don't help me, then I'll do it myself. I'll do it myself.
You'll fail, Ed Harley. You'll fail and you'll die, too.
Then I'll die!
And pay the final price. All the sooner.
God damn you!
He already has, son. He already has.
Oh my goodness, that is the classic lines from Pumpkinhead.
Pumpkinhead. One of your faves.
God damn you. And the witch cackles at him. He already has, son.
All right, you got to say the guy's name for me.
Ed Harley. What do you think, Ed Harley? Oh, I've done this on previous Halloweens? Is that what's,
going
on?
Yeah.
God damn it. He already has. I have a friend I used to work at Houghton Mifflin with him. Mm-hmm. And he and I are both Pumpkinhead fans. And this time of year, he always posts various pictures of Old Lady Haggis as the witch's name. on my Facebook page. She's saying things like, he already has.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So tell me about this this rockin' crazy, the Night of the Warlocks,
yes.
Come Save Me Christ.
Night of the Warlocks, yeah, that's by a group called The Ghost.
The Ghost.
Came out in 1970, and actually the song we played afterwards, When You're Dead, is by the same band.
Cheery.
But I love Night of the Warlock.
Okay.
One, for the line, please save me Christ.
Please save me Christ.
But the fact that it's like this, you know, basically talking about the witches meeting and all this kind of stuff, the Night of the Warlock, all this stuff's going to happen. But it's like upbeat and happy.
Yeah.
And then he's like screaming for Christ to save him.
Yeah. It has a sort of Sabbath feel to it with that invocation of the Christ in the middle of heavy metal. Except, as you say, there's nothing dark about it.
No, it's almost like, folky. And he's doing a like doodly-dee-da. It's like it's got to come out of like UK folk music.
Yeah.
You know, but I just love it. It's got a great beat and you can dance to it.
As we were.
Exactly.
In the studio.
No, we weren't.
But we should have been.
Yes. That is true.
And then, after that, we heard.
That was it. We just played those two songs.
That's all we played? Come Save Me Christ.
Yes.
I know. When I was a kid growing up in D.C., we used to go to, I grew up in D.C., and of course, The Exorcist takes place right there in Georgetown, and mm-hmm. famous steps down which the Father Marin tumbles to his doom.
Cool.
And growing up as a Catholic on Capitol Hill, that movie obviously meant a great deal to me, and we used to, there was a shtick we used to pull on each other when we were hanging out in bars in Georgetown,
mm-hmm.
when your buddy wasn't looking, you'd dip your fingers in his beer, and then you flick him in his face and say, the power of Christ compels you.
I mean, yeah, of course you did.
Yeah. Catholic humor.
Cool. All right. Shall we go back to some more witch music and then some more talk?
Let's do a little more witch music, and then I want to read a famous witch tale.
Awesome. All right. So here comes some witch music. Hopefully it will be technically flawless like the rest of the show. Mm-hmm. Dig it and dig it deep.
You can't fool me with your dagger tongues and your wizardry. For what you know, they can't see. Because you were meant to levitate and lie prostrate and glide. And they were made to hesitate and to analyze and cry. And you look out your window, so keen, so evil. Then you gently burn the suppers off the table. Because you were meant to levitate and lie prostrate and lie. And they were made to hesitate and to analyze and cry. You were meant to levitate and lie prostrate and fly. And they were made to hesitate and to analyze and cry. Yes, and I can see your prayers, they are written in the sky. Yes, and all of your promises are their lies. Think you're just a hoax. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hey!
Young Goodman Brown came forth at sunset into the street at Salem Village, but put his head back after crossing the threshold to exchange a parting gift with his young wife. And Faith, as the wife was aptly named, thrust her own pretty head into the street, letting the wind play with the pink ribbons of her cap while she called to Goodman Brown. "Dearest heart," whispered she softly and rather sadly, when her lips were close to his ear, "prithee, put off your journey until sunrise and sleep in your own bed tonight. A lone woman is troubled with such dreams and such thoughts that she's afeard of herself sometimes. Pray, tarry with me this night, dear husband, of all nights in the year." "My love and my faith," replied young Goodman Brown, "of all nights in the year, this one night must I tarry away from thee. My journey, as thou callest it, forth and back again, must needs be done twixt now and sunrise." "What, my sweet, pretty wife, dost thou doubt me already, and we but 3 months married?" "Then God bless you," said Faith, with the pink ribbons, "and may you find all well when you come back." "Amen," cried Goodman Brown. "Say thy prayers, dear Faith, and go to bed at dusk, and no harm will come to thee." So they parted, and the young man pursued his way until, being about to turn the corner by the meeting house, he looked back and saw the head of Faith still peeping after him with a melancholy air in spite of her pink ribbons. "Poor little Faith," thought he, for his heart smote him. "What a wretch am I to leave her on such an errand. She talks of dreams, too. Methought as she spoke there was some trouble in her face, as if a dream had warned her what work is to be done tonight." It's Young Goodman Brown by Nathaniel Hawthorne.
Cool.
One of the, probably the single most famous witch short story in all English literature.
Wow.
Have you ever read it?
No, I had not.
Okay, a classic. And here's the first of my recommendations for any Halloween readers that we have tonight. Young Goodman Brown leaves Salem. And he's headed out on probably Halloween night. She says, "This, of all nights of the year, do you have to leave me?" And he says, "Well, this is the one night that I have to go do something in the woods." So,
hey, you know. Yeah,
you stay here and you just sleep. And I'm going to go out and take a walk and I'll be back. It will not surprise you that Goodman Brown meets a mysterious man in the woods. There's someone out there. And that guy says, here, come take my staff and walk along beside me a little ways. Witchery is happening in the woods of Salem, and Goodman Brown will have nothing to do with it, but he does have to speak to this mysterious, dark stranger just very briefly, and then he's going to hurry home, and, and the rest of his life he's going to be a good Puritan. But just very, very quickly he has to, well, just a little bit farther, Goodman Brown, just walk with me a little bit farther. Just terrific tale.
Cool. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I like a lot of things about it. One of the, just even from hearing the opening passage, you can hear that one of the things that Hawthorne is playing with is the idea of dreams. The wife, anytime we've got a narrative where a character leaves at night, and he says, "I'm going to go out on a little..."
Yeah, and she's like, "Oh, I'm not having nightmares."
Yeah. Well, not even that. Even even when he just says, "It's bedtime, but I'm going to go out and take a little walk." It's like, is this a dream? Is he at home in bed, or is he actually leaving the house
and going on? Gotcha.
Right. And she says, "I'm worried about the dreams that I might have." So Hawthorne is aware of this. He introduces the idea of dreams, and Goodman Brown thinks, "Oh, what sorts of dreams could Faith have? I'm sure they're all very sweet." There's a neat way in which he plays with the walk into the woods with this mysterious
stranger,
stranger, as being like part of a dream that is something inside Goodman Brown that he isn't admitting about himself.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Recommendation number one. Want to tell us about those songs?
What do you mean?
Oh, I thought you had a witchy thing to report on.
Yeah, but you know what I was thinking? I did a mashup of the theme to Suspiria, which is a great witch movie, if you've never seen Suspiria.
You know, I've never, even though I'm a horror film fan, I've never seen Suspiria.
Oh, man, it's fucking awesome.
Really? And
yeah. It's freaking awesome.
Can you say awesome at this?
You can.
You can.
And very scary. So anyway, let's...
Wait, before you do that.
Yeah, yeah.
The only thing I know about Suspiria is it was a woman in a pool who gets an axe in the head, because I've seen that clip in a dozen places. But you will remember this. Mike and I went to college together, and there was a poster for Suspiria that somebody had up in their dorm. Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the caption on it said, "No one will be allowed into the theater in the last 10 minutes.
Yep.
You know? And that in itself, you and I used to talk about how that in itself is such a catcher. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, what could be in this movie that they have to make sure that no one ruins the horrific effect of the conclusion?
And there, I know they had another movie poster, or it might have been in the trailer. The only thing more frightening than the last 12 minutes of this film are the first 82. Or like however long it is. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're going to play a mashup, and I might bring up some scenes from the movie. We'll just see how it goes.
Cool. Go for it.
Dig it and dig it deep.
Suspiria. Thank you. me from out of the pit. What is thy purpose?
Deliverance of the soul.
Has it been prepared?
It has.
Then I command this soul to be purified by fire and water. Mighty light and burning flame of comfort. Enter this body and cleanse it of its unworthy soul. In the name of Belial, master of the earth. Now, be sealed by the holy waters of forgetfulness.
Reading from The Case of Margaret Jones, an Accused Witch, from Charlestown, Massachusetts, 1648. At this court, one Margaret Jones of Charlestown was indicted and found guilty of witchcraft and hanged for it. The evidence against her was, one, that she was found to have such a malignant touch as many persons, men and women and children, whom she stroked or touched, with any affection, were taken with deafness, or vomiting, or other pains, or sicknesses. Some things which she foretold came to pass accordingly. Other things she could tell as secret speeches, which she had no ordinary means to come to the knowledge of. And she had, upon search, an apparent teat in her secret parts, as fresh as if it had been newly sucked. And after it had been searched, upon a second search, was found to be withered, and another had begun to grow on the opposite side. This is from the deposition of Sarah Clifford, 1656. The deposition of Sarah Clifford, aged about 30 years. This despondent testifieth that she heard Ann Smith cry, and she, going out, found this Ann in the orchard with her mouth bloody and blood on the path. And this person asked her several questions, and asked her how she came to be so, and Anne answered that she knew not how. And after she came into the house, those that were with her asked her whether she knew anybody, and by what they did perceive, she knew no one there. And after this, a person took her in her arms and carried her into another house. And then she, the child, told her that there came to her in the night an old woman in the garden, with a blue coat, and a blue cap, and a blue apron, and a white neckcloth. And this old woman took the girl by the hand and carried her through the air into an orchard. And she was asked to live with this old woman forever. And the girl told her that she would not. And the old woman said that then she would kill her. So, actual depositions from the witch trial days. We think of it being a phenomenon that only happened in Salem, just because we're Americans, but in fact, there were witch accusations, witch and warlock accusations, trials, hangings, burnings, stonings, drownings going on all through Europe. Thousands and thousands of people met their fate at the hands of various kinds of inquisitors.
So, how'd it come about?
This I don't know.
You know, because it's incredibly barbaric.
Yeah.
For one.
Yeah.
Were the targets mainly women, or is it women and men?
It's women and men, although there is a fair amount of indication that it is mainly women, and the standard explanation is that women who are on the outside of society for some reason, culturally on the margins or economically on the margins, or there's just something a little bit strange about them in the eyes of the majority, that those people tend to be accused of being something other than they appear.
Ooh.
But, so that's the standard read on witches. There are other kinds of, you know, it's cool ideas about where all the people in Salem eating ergot, which is a kind of fungus that can form on.
Right, I've heard that.
Yeah, it makes you hallucinate violently, and is that part of what was going on? But you don't really need something like that. You just need a community of passionate religious believers and somebody who doesn't quite fit in.
Hmm.
That person is probably doing something with the devil.
Yeah, they're probably a witch.
Yeah, they probably are a witch. It goes all the way back to the thousands of years, actually. There are witch accusations in the Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, the Christian Old Testament. There are at least two stories of people being accused of witchcraft. And it certainly is across various cultures. I don't know if there are witches in all cultures, but I wouldn't be surprised if there were.
Well, they're certainly in Japan and China. I know that just from movies I've watched.
Yeah.
And vampires as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Chinese vampires hop.
Yes, I've heard of this.
Yeah, and you have to put a Taoist scripture onto their forehead to keep them from moving. Yeah. I've seen this in a couple of movies.
The hopping vampires.
Yeah.
I actually know, just because I did research on it for a paper I was writing, about the origins of vampire mythology in Eastern Europe and at what point it enters into literature. And Mike earlier tonight said, he didn't want to talk about vampires so much. He was more in a witch mood. So yeah. I don't have any cool vampire stuff to share. But I can tell you that we know exactly when vampires became sexy.
Ooh.
We think of vampires now as being these sexualized. Right. Yeah, they weren't originally. That actually starts in a very specific time with
Frank Langella. Dracula?
No, earlier than that. I was going to go for Lord Byron.
Ooh.
The same night, 1816, when Byron Shelley and Mary Shelley... And,
got together and got drunk and wrote great literature.
Exactly, yeah. They wrote scary stories. That's when Mary Shelley came up with Frankenstein. So Lord Byron's Dr. Feelgood, whose name was John Polidori, just the guy who produced the opium so everybody could get high on, stole an idea that Byron had for a little vampire story. Byron threw it away, didn't want to do it, and Polidori stole it, and he wrote it out, and he made it into an actual novel called The Vampire, which is terrible. but it is the first time that a vampire appears in literature depicted as a...
seductor?
Yeah, like an aristocratic seductive figure, because he's modeled on Lord Byron. His name is Lord Ruthven, and he's clearly supposed to be Lord Byron.
Wow.
And at that point, that idea of the vampire as a sexy aristocratic seducer who's evil, you know, you're tempted, but he will destroy you, that is such a hit that ever since then... Bram Stoker is the most famous one, 1896, but ever since then we've been telling sexy vampire stories instead of one...
Scary.
Yeah, scaring, right, spectral, half-ghost, half-ghoul kinds of vampire tales.
Nice.
Which is how they began.
Cool.
That was an awesome Suspiria thing you did there.
Oh, yeah, thank you. That was a little mashup I put together. It had the original theme and I don't know what else. I'll have to go back and look.
So there are witches in that movie?
It's about witches.
Oh, it is.
It's about an American dance student who goes over to Europe to study dance. I don't want to give anything away from the movie.
Little does she know that the dance school is full of witches.
The movie is awesome.
Yeah.
It was Dario Argento.
Yeah.
Who's like, was a master of sort of like incredibly gory, very scary films.
Yeah. You know, I had a friend in grad school who may be listening to the show as we speak.
Cool.
Who he's also a horror fan. And one day I was over at his place and he said, here, take a look at this. And he showed me like trading cards of horror movie trading cards. And one of them, he had his hand over half the card. And the top half of it was a sexy topless woman. And he says, check her out. And while I'm looking, he pulls his hand away. And she's been sawed in half. It was from some Dario Argento movie, Deep Red or something like that.
Yep.
And it just like, oh my God, it's this mini trauma moment. I thought I'm never going to watch this guy's movies. That just looks totally ghastly.
Yeah. Him, Mario Bava, he's another one. He did really weird horror movies.
Yeah.
Lots of color and stuff. There's sort of the post-Hammer kind of approach after the Hammer Studios in the 50s and 60s.
I guess they were anticipating what we would call splatterpunk or... What do you call those extreme violence?
Just gore. I don't know.
Yeah, but there was a time when people were making
slasher films
beyond slasher, when movies were just specifically focusing on hardcore violence, torture porn. I forget exactly what the name for it is. Anyway,
no idea.
Yeah, but Suspiria. All right, should I give it a try?
Give what a try, Suspiria?
Suspiria,
yeah. Okay. Put it on. Let's watch it while we do the rest of the show.
Yeah, sounds good.
Do we want to go back to witch music? Do we want to play some...
Yeah, we could do a little more witch music. I'm looking forward to our segue into the second half of tonight's Halloween offerings here on the Classic Rock Mind Spooktravaganza.
Cool.
When we are going to start talking about ghosts and ghost stories. But we've got a little more witch... a little more witching to do. I should say the sounds that we were hearing in the... that sound of a satanic ritual happening in the Suspiria mix.
Yes.
I didn't actually tell you what it was. Did you recognize it?
No, no.
The Devil's Reign.
Oh, God, yeah, that's another one of your favorites.
Yes, starring Ernest Borgnine and William Shatner.
Yep.
That's William Shatner has been captured by the devil cult, and Ernest Borgnine as a warlock named Corbis.
Nice.
Turns into a ram-headed monster, and he's like burning out Shatner's eyes.
Cool.
Damn you, Corbis.
Have you seen Night of the Scarecrow?
Dark Knight of the Scarecrow?
Dark Knight of the Scarecrow,
I turned you on to Dark Knight of the Scarecrow.
You did.
That was several Halloweens ago.
It was I was on TV the other night.
Oh, yeah.
It was freaking awesome, man.
Halloween classic.
It's really scary for a made-for-TV movie, man. It's no nonsense.
No, that's a dynamite one. I love Dark Knight of the Scarecrow. I don't think there are any witches in there.
No, there's not.
Wicker Man. There are witches in Wicker Man.
Yes, indeed.
It's sort of like pagan... pagan witch warlock kinds of guys.
Yeah.
We talked about that one Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
I love the witch who appears in one episode of The Night Stalker.
Ooh.
I tried to get a clip from that.
Yeah.
The Trevi Collection. She's a woman who works in a fashion model business concern, and she's actually a witch, and she's rising up through the ranks by using her demonic powers. Oh my God, when I was a little kid, that one. Like, I love The Night Stalker, but there were a couple episodes that were just too intense.
Yeah.
And the one with the witch just, oh, man.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Gotcha. All right, let's go back to some witch music, and then we'll see where the evening takes us.
Okay, witch it up.
All right, dig it and dig it deep.
The people of the town she must pay for having the curse of the witch. She must be burned at the stake. Her mother and I, we fought and screamed for her to live. But when the judge had his say, quote, to end her cursed filled life, she must die. With tears in eye and hearts of love, we said she had to leave. Then with a question, expression, she asked, do you believe? She was sentenced by her accusers to be secretly burned to the stake till death comes. Take it. Her heart was much too weak. It was a day her heart stopped beating. I knew it was too late. Without a friend to talk to, there is no reason to speak. The love I had for the town had completely turned to hate. With tear in eye and no heart at all, I knew I would leave. Then looked up to the sky and asked, who can I be? Can't take it. To be happy, I'll have to wait until death comes.
Whether the dreams brought on the fever, or the fever brought on the dreams, Walter Gilman did not know. Behind everything crouched the brooding, festering horror of the ancient town and of the moldy, unhallowed garret gable where he wrote and studied and wrestled with figures and formulae when he was not tossing on the meager iron bed. His ears were growing sensitive to a preternatural and intolerable degree, and he had long ago stopped the cheap mantel clock whose ticking had come to seem like a thunder of artillery. At night, the subtle stirring of the black city outside, the sinister scurrying of rats in the wormy partitions, and the creaking of hidden timbers in the centuried house were enough to give him a sense of strident pandemonium. The darkness always teemed with unexplained sound. And yet he sometimes shook with fear lest the noises he heard should subside and allow him to hear certain other, fainter noises which he suspected were lurking behind them. He was in the changeless, legend-haunted city of Arkham, with its clustering gamble roofs that sway and sag over attics where witches hid from the king's men in the dark, olden days of the province. Nor was any spot in that city more steeped in macabre memory than the gable room which harbored him. For it was this house, in this room, which had likewise harbored old Kezia Mason, whose flight from the Salem gale at the last no one was ever able to explain. That was in 1692. The gaoler had gone mad and babbled of a small, white-fanged, furry thing which scuttled out of Kezia's cell. And not even Cotton Mather could explain the curves and angles smeared on the gray stone walls with some red, sticky fluid.
As I am, can you see through my disguise?